I am so excited about that. Palm Sunday, Holy Week. Father God, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for this day. Father, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for the sacrifice that you have given to us, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. We ask that you be with us, Lord God, that you bless this service, Lord God, that you speak through me the words that you have given me, and that we apply it to our life, that it helps us understand the importance of what you did. We thank you. We ask that you bless us in your name, Jesus. Amen. The triumphal entry. Today is Palm Sunday, so we're going to talk about the triumphal entry, how Jesus entered into Jerusalem. How he enters into Jerusalem has a great significance. In the beginning of Jesus' ministry, he did not want the people to know who he was. He told people to be quiet. He silenced demons. He told people who he healed, don't say who did it. He didn't want, in the beginning of his ministry, people to know who he truly was. But now he's coming to a point of his ministry that it is time to truly reveal who he is. Let's dive into Jesus's triumphal entry and find out what happened as he enters in to this part, last part of his ministry. What Jesus did. I'm going to read from Luke 19, 28 through 14. Luke 19, 28 through 14. After Jesus had said this, he went up ahead, going to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethpage and Bethany at the hill called Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and you, as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you why you are untying it, say, 'The Lord needs it.'" Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, "Why are you untying the colt?" They replied, "The Lord needs it." They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down to Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began to joyfully praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." "I tell you," he replied, "if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." The stones will cry out. What Jesus did. Jesus walked from Galilee to Jerusalem. About the last 2 miles, he asked to ride a donkey. But why? Another thing we know is about what Jesus does is that he is borrowing this donkey. This might seem strange, but it actually is fairly common practice in that day. When a royal embassy arrives in town, they would often borrow or command to mount to ride on into town. It was considered a privilege to have your mount used by a king or a prince or a general or some famous teacher who was riding into town. The interesting thing is, however, is that most often royal embassies found the most beautiful, proud stallion in the city to ride on. This would show victory, conquest. But the donkey, the colt, was just the opposite. It showed humility, peace. Jesus did not enter Jerusalem riding a horse or driving a chariot. He did not wear a crown. He did not carry a sword, as most royal persons would have done. Donkeys were used occasionally, but when they were for civil, non-military possessions. This was also fulfilled to fulfill scriptures. Zechariah 9:9. It reads, rejoice greatly, daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey and a colt, the foal of a donkey. All of this is important because we're going to see that people thought that they were getting a military Messiah. They thought that Jesus was coming in to fight with a sword and he was going to rule over. Oh, but what they thought was going to happen, it was not Jesus's mission. Someone who was going to judge and fight and rule is what they wanted. Christ wanted them to see him differently. So when he comes in on a donkey. This is what he was saying. I come in peace. He did not come to destroy, but he came to create. He did not come to condemn, he came to help. Not in the might of arms, but in the strength of love. Let me say that again. Jesus came not to destroy. He came in peace. He came to create. He came to help. He didn't come to condemn. There are two other issues that I like to talk about when Jesus asked the disciples to bring in a young colt or a donkey. When a colt has intentionally not been ridden, it is because they are saving it for a special occasion or for a special person. The other thing is when a colt has not been ridden, it has not been broken in. It is not easy to ride. And as we read, Jesus climbed onto there. They put him on the donkey and he rode into Jerusalem. He had to go up a hill and he went down. There is no way that you're going to ride on a donkey that has not been broken easily. But that tells us something. My family loves to watch this movie called Heartland. And one of the main characters, her job is to break horses in so that they can be ridden. It is not an easy feat. It takes days. But Jesus was able to do this on the one day. Jesus was definitely making a claim. We've seen first what Jesus did. We are now going to see what the crowds did. But remember that Jesus is coming to make a stand. He's coming to say who he truly is. He has lordship over all creation. What the disciples and the crowds did, the disciples followed Jesus' command to go find the colt, and they did. They found the colt tied up. And he told them, if someone asks you what you're doing, tell them that the Lord has need of it. And that too happened. As they're untying the colt, the owner comes up and says, what are you doing? And they say to him, the Lord needs it. They followed the direction of Jesus completely. Jesus had it. It was already set up. Jesus had it perfect for them because he knew what his mission was. His mission was already slated for him. All of this happened just as Jesus said it would, and the disciples were prepared for it. The disciples covered the colt with their cloaks. The colt had never been ridden. They placed Jesus on this donkey. They placed him on it. There was significance in that. As I was studying for this, I didn't realize that part of importance. But you think that Jesus climbed onto the colt, but what they are saying is that they placed him onto it. This signifies that they are too participating in Jesus as king. They recognize Jesus as king, as Lord of Lords. So Jesus was not the only one who was claiming his kingship at that time. The disciples also were claiming he is Lord of Lords. And when they come to the place where the road goes down a mountain, Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples begin to rejoice. They begin to praise. They begin in loud voices shouting and celebrating. They sang, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven, glory in the highest." They are singing, they are praising, they are excited because what they think is coming is the Messiah is coming to take it down. That he's coming to take over and overthrow the Romans. The crowd, they are spreading their garments on the ground like a red carpet. They are preparing a way for someone royal. Spreading the garments represents royal homage. It was a sign of paying tribute, like rolling out the red carpet today. By laying down their cloaks, they were giving Jesus a kingly welcome. So now you've got the disciples singing and praising. You've got the crowds laying down their coats, their jackets, their coats all on the ground. They are saying, "The king is here," and they're excited. There's a couple of things that they're doing. They're cheering, they're waving palm branches. They are excited because they believe that they have found the Messiah. The Messiah is here. The disciples and the crowds are excited. The Messiah is here. He is going to overturn status quo. He's going to take the Romans down. We are going to be in our rightful place. This is what they're thinking. If only they understood what he was truly doing. The Pharisees had no idea what was really happening, but they didn't like it. We're going to talk a little bit about what the Pharisees did. Some of the Pharisees asked Jesus to rebuke his disciples. The Pharisees are most likely not a part of the crowd. They're not in the crowd. They're not a part of the crowd. They're most likely a little bit away from the crowd because they're not cheering. They're not celebrating. They're not excited. They're actually kind of mad. This is not what they wanted. And they had been trying to figure out how to get rid of Jesus, how to get him away, because they didn't want this. They didn't believe he was the Messiah. They're probably watching Jesus' every move from a short distance. But they are able to ask Jesus to make his disciples be quiet. They say, "Rebuke your disciples, teacher." The Pharisees don't believe that Jesus is the Messiah. So according to them, the disciples should be silenced. They should be quiet. All the miracles and the great teachings that Jesus did, they didn't believe. All the proof was right in front of them. The things that Jesus did to fulfill Old Testament scripture did not matter to them. Their hearts were hardened like Pharaoh. To them, Jesus was not the Messiah. He was a nuisance that needed to be rid of. They needed him to be gone. But this brings me to my big idea. Jesus is Messiah. He was ready to make an announcement to the world. He announced himself that he was Messiah. Some believed, some did not. Those that believed in the miracles and those that were healed, they were like, wow, they were excited. The disciples were excited because what they thought he was coming to do was to take over. They wanted that. They wanted to be put into their rightful place. All of those miracles that Jesus did, all of the healing that he did, scripture after scripture being fulfilled right before their eyes. And those Pharisees, they studied scripture. So they knew the Old Testament. They knew what it needed to be. They knew what the Messiah was supposed to look like. They knew what was supposed to happen. He brought the dead to life. He made the blind man see. He cleansed the woman with the issue of blood. But when it all came down. Some believed, some did not. Some even believed for a little bit and then fell short and stopped. They were challenged at the end. They were challenged. Some believed and some did not. All the things that they seen. Now, for us, we see a lot. We know the end. We know what happens. They did not know, but we do know. But we still have questions. We still have things that we have to believe in. Jesus is the Messiah. He is the Lord of Lords. He is the King. But like that crowd that was cheering and celebrating and excited, some of them begin to fall away when things start to change. Some of them begin to do other things. And you'll hear more about that next Sunday. But I've got some questions for you. Questions that we should be thinking about and we should be asking ourselves regularly. Because we know what happened days to come after this event of his triumphal entry when he announces who he truly is. We know what happened. They didn't know at that time, but we know because we have the full Bible. And I have to ask you, who is Jesus to you? Is he Lord? Is he King of Kings? Is he the Messiah? Is he the person that you trust with your whole life? Or is it just a fleeting thing? You believe when it's convenient. You believe when life is easy. But when you're challenged with something, do you stop believing? When life is hard, do you stop believing? When he challenges you to do something different, do you stop believing? Or is he your Lord of Lords? Is he your King of Kings? Is he your Messiah? What will you do? Will you reject Jesus like the Pharisees? Will you receive Jesus, like the disciples? What will you do? Father God, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for this day, Lord God. Father, we thank you who you are. We thank you that you are Lord of Lords, King of Kings, that you came to this earth to show us, Lord God. That you are here for us, Lord God, that you are here to guide us, to direct us, to connect us to our Heavenly Father. You have given us everything that we need to make it in this world. Help us to trust you. Help us to believe in you, Lord Jesus. Help us to receive you and help us to never reject you, Jesus. We thank you and we praise you in your name, Jesus. Amen.